Just some snatches from 1 Corinthians 12 and 14. Christ is just like the human body. A body is a unit and has many parts. And all the parts of the body are one body, even though there are many. You are the body of Christ and parts of each other. When you meet together, each one has a psalm, a teaching, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. All these things must be done to build up the church. And then from Luke 4, Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news about him spread throughout the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. Jesus went to Nazareth, where he had been raised. On the Sabbath, he went to the synagogue as he normally did and stood up to read. The synagogue assistants gave him the scroll from the prophet Isaiah. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, to liberate the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." He rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the synagogue assistant, and sat down. Every eye in the synagogue was fixed on him. He began to explain to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled just as you heard it." Friends, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Gracious Lord, we ask that you would indeed bless to our hearts the reading of your word. We ask that you would speak to us from that word this morning, that you would help us to be attuned to your Spirit, that the Holy Spirit would move in our hearts, our lives, within the depths of our being, and in the whole of our minds, that we would be aware of you at work here this morning, and that you would give each of us something we need this day. We pray in Jesus' matchless name. Amen. In a very short span of verses, Luke has taken us from the baptism of Jesus to the temptation in the wilderness, and he's brought him back into the area of Judea and taken him to his hometown. Now, I'm sure it didn't happen zip, 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 zip. There were probably some other things that happened along the way, but this is what he tells us and what he shares with us. That once Jesus had faced off against Satan, once Jesus had moved in the power of the Spirit, that Jesus immediately got down to business. Jesus immediately began his mission. And lest we miss that mission and Jesus' interpretation of his purpose and his mission, We are given that through the words of the prophet Isaiah. As Jesus read from the scroll of Isaiah, or one of the scrolls of Isaiah, and reads from the 62nd chapter and a part of the 58th, as he gives that God has called me, and he has called me to, through his Spirit that is upon me, his Spirit that is empowering me, to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the prisoners, recovery of sight to the blind, to liberate the oppressed, and then from 58, to declare the Lord's favor. They were good words. They were words that probably had been read many times in the past. In this same setting, as far as there in the synagogue. And quite likely, many, including those who were the hearers that day, had wished many times and hoped many times that that time would come, that God would indeed have favor upon his people, that God would indeed intervene in the life of this nation, that God would indeed touch hearts and lives with his power and his love, and that God would not seem remote and removed from them. Though many times they surely felt that that must be the case. What was different this time? What was different this time than from all of the other times that these words had been read and shared with the people? Well, it was Jesus. And it was Jesus' interpretation of those words. Today. Today in your hearing, this has been fulfilled. God is here today. God is at work today. God is at work opening the eyes of the blind. God is at work today preaching good news to the poor. God is at work today liberating the oppressed. God is at work today declaring how much God loves you. Paul would write that God was in Christ Jesus reconciling the world to himself. That God was in Christ Jesus reaching out in that love and in that power, that Jesus was saying, this is what you've hoped for. This is what you've heard proclaimed. Guess what? The time is now. It's time that we got down to business. Good news? you better believe it. Better than winning the publisher's clearinghouse. Better than winning the lottery. Greater than the greatest blessings we can imagine. The presence, the power of God upon us. With those eternal repercussions. Did everybody know it? Oh, probably not. In fact, we're told that people heard the story, and if we were to have read on to the 12th verse, we would have said that yes, just like in the others, these were pleased. And they said, yeah, that's Joe's kid. Isn't this great? Of course, others took it a little step further, because then it's like, this is Joe's kid. We know Joe. What's he talking about? Why does he think he's so special? That we know all about him. They didn't. They thought they did, but they didn't. They thought they had this handle on what God was doing and what God wanted in their lives, but they didn't. They thought they had all the answers, but they didn't. As the church of Laodicea in the book of Revelations, they thought they were rich. They thought they were open-minded. They thought that they were right in the center of God's will. They weren't. But it wasn't God's fault. God hadn't moved. They were the ones who were in need of change, of transportation. Transformation and of experiencing God's power in their lives. There's a commercial on TV that I like. It's Larry the Cable Guy, and it's Prilosec OTC. And you have Larry and his country twang proclaiming that this brand new flavor of Prilosec over-the-counter medication, this wild berry flavor, and then he goes into, why do we do this? Why are we doing this? Because this is America. And in America, that we give you the things you need. But we give you things you didn't even know you needed. And then he goes on with these outlandish things, as you see this foam cowboy's hat with a sheriff star on it and different things, the stretch pants, the denim stretch pants. I like that because I know that there is a truth there. That God is at work giving us things we didn't even know we needed. That God was at work giving people what they didn't know they needed. They didn't know they needed a Savior, but they did. They didn't know they needed someone moving around them and telling them of God, touching eyes of the blind, but even more, helping those see who thought they saw so clearly, who thought they had all the answers and didn't. God is at work. Leonard Sweet tells us of a Japanese art form called kintsugi. That this kintsugi is a special thing that basically came about through the broken ceramics of the fine china. As people would send it back, and it would come back repaired, maybe with an ugly staple or something. It was not a pretty thing. But then this art form began. And this rosin was created and applied so that the pieces were meticulously rejoined. The rosin, after it had thoroughly dried and hardened, was buffed to the point that the casual eye couldn't or could hardly tell where the crack had been, where the break had occurred. But then, Sweet says, kintsugi did something unique. That they took a lacquer with pure gold, and they traced that break. They traced that weakest point, that point of brokenness. And instead of it being this ugly thing, it was now an exquisite river of gold. That it was returned in an even more priceless fashion than what it had been before it had been broken. We are reminded that God meets us in our brokenness. God meets us in our deepest need. That God comes to us when we are at our weakest. And God's grace, God's power reaches to us there. And God not only heals us, but God not only restores us, but God transforms us into something even greater, even better, even more wonderful than we could have ever imagined possible through His power, through His Spirit. Yes, He's come through the Holy Spirit. And we are reminded that we too have received that Holy Spirit. As Paul writes there in those 12th through the 14th chapters of his letter, known to us as 1 Corinthians. As he tells about the Spirit and of the difference that it makes in the church. That we've all been given our uniqueness, our differences. We've all been given all of these things, and if we allow God to bring it together and allow God to work us together and remember that we all have something to offer and we all have something to give and we all have something to help the church as a whole to become the best that it can be and the greatest and the most able to fulfill the will of God. That through the Spirit, God does that. another spot, Paul speaks of filling up the work of Christ, of completing. That we have been given this mission. This mission of Jesus was not just the mission of Jesus. It is God's mission to the world for Christ and for the body of Christ, of which we are a part, to care for the poor, to care for the blind, to care for the needy, to care for those who need deliverance, for those who are hurting the most, to do what we can for the glory of God. Someone tells of having received a book that stirred them. It says this man had attended a church. He had come as a guest speaker. And he had stood and he had said, "My message today has 3 points. And the writer says, and the eyes started to glaze over, all 3 points. He said, "Well, the first point is that there are 2 billion people in this world who are dying of hunger. They'd heard the fact before. But then he moved on and says, "And my second point is," and suddenly they perked up a little bit. Wow, we're already on the second point. I know it's taken me a lot longer than that, right? Than that few seconds. But he said, "My second point is that many of you don't give a damn." At this point, the eyes were a gaze. There was a little murmuring. And he said, "My third point is that many of you are more concerned that I said that one word than you are for the first that there are 2 billion people who are dying of hunger." And then he sat down. That this is the challenge to the church. To have a genuine concern, a genuine compassion for a world that is hurting, a world in need. And not just to give lip service, not just to say, "Yes, we need to do different." Oh, isn't it a shame? Somebody ought to do something. Jesus says, God is here right now. And God is doing something. Through the Spirit, we are reminded that God is here right now in us, encouraging us to do something, to make a genuine difference in this world that so needs what God offers us in Christ Jesus. Gracious Lord, we give thanks and praise for your love. Yes, a love that sometimes seems hidden and remote, but a love that reaches and that calls us and desires to equip us to carry on and to likewise make a difference with what we have and who we are in you. We give thanks for that call and for what you desire to do within us and through us. In Jesus' name. Amen.